This is Don Fass from San Francisco, and we're all reaching up.
The 2007 movie Amazing Grace was the story of William Wilberforce's transformation toward heroically working through Parliament to end the British transatlantic slave trade. Wilberforce's mentor, John Newton, who wrote the great hymn Amazing Grace, was himself a slave ship captain who turned into a repentant priest. Now, centuries later, in our time, there are an estimated 18 to 27 million slaves in the world. Mark Wexler, co-founder of the pioneering anti-slavery group Not For Sale, joins me after this riveting song about slavery from Katouf.
On the streets of Delhi, a little boy is crying. He slowly looks up at me with his bruised face. Said he had been locked up, working in a factory, 18 hard long hours, day in, day out. One day he made a mistake, they beat him up severely. He found a way to escape, but there's more left behind. Only 8 years of age, taken from his parents, they do to this little boy what they should not. They should not. Should not. Look at the tears of the
Don Fass, and with me is Mark Wexler from the Not For Sale campaign. We're sitting in the ministry office of the University of San Francisco, not far from a statue of St. Francis. And I know, Mark, that you've done some work even before Not For Sale that in a very real way relates to St. Francis, what he stood for, and that includes working with street kids in South Africa. Tell us about that first.
Yeah, that's right. Half of 2006 was spent in Durban, South Africa, working with an organization called Mtumbo. And Mtumbo does some great work, both working on the streets, but also working on a political level. They call it a conscientization process of actually working with former street children who are now adults to actually affect change on a political level by both learning about the policies that are in place guarding street kids, and also then kind of prepping and making their own policy to then to take that to local government, to a federal level, if you will, to effect change. So it's working from top and bottom, actually working with the kids on the streets and also working on a political level in Johannesburg. So it's some great stuff.
What was that experience like for you personally?
I had been to South Africa in 2002, and it was actually through the University of San Francisco, a great program called Erasmus. That process was really instrumental for me on a mental and a physical and a spiritual level to really begin to understand the world in a different light, just grow in that way. Going back in 2006 was very important for me in the sense that I needed to continue that growth and continue to learn from the kids who are on the streets there, to learn their stories and be able to come back and tell others about their stories, and to, you know, spread the word, make sure people know that there's a world beyond our MTV and our VH1, but there's a world out there that we need to be more aware of.
Of course, there's an incredible problem with all kinds of things, incredible needs throughout Africa, particularly sub-Saharan Africa, and we could devote a whole interview just to that alone.
Very true,
but how did that work and what you saw in South Africa then lead you to become part of or to found Not For Sale?
That's a great question. Durban is one of the largest ports in all of Africa. I believe it's the sixth largest port. We would sit there and we would watch the ships go out. Myself and a gentleman who founded Mtumbo, his name is Tom Hewitt, who's also a University of San Francisco grad. And seriously, we sat there. This is before the Not For Sale campaign even came into a mental existence. We're pretty sure that there are people on those ships being taken all around the world because it's well known that there's trafficking going on through Durban and Cape Town. That was really kind of the first part of that process for me to really start to understand on a global level what trafficking is and what modern-day slavery is. We would watch young girls who were sitting prostituting themselves, and they would disappear within a week. They were only there for a week, no longer, and they would just disappear. They were gone. And we always wonder, where in the world would they go? We know there's a lot of violence on the streets, particularly in Durban, but they couldn't answer why the girls were gone within, you know, days to a week. And watching those ships go out really started to make the mind turn. And trying to understand a deeper level, even a darker level, of kind of the human existence. And that's what trafficking is, and that's what slavery is. It's something that we need to become more aware of. It goes deeper than just an understanding. It's also a spiritual thing. It affects you in a way that I think it's hard to really understand, because you start to really think about the humanity of it all and what lurks in our heart.
It's interesting that you're talking about South Africa, which is probably the perception that it's one of the more successful, if not the most successful, country in Africa. It's not like what we hear about Darfur or the child soldiers in Uganda or the dumps in Kenya. But in reality, as we'll find out in talking to you a little bit later, there's slavery in the United States, too.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So it's everywhere.
Yes, it is everywhere. I think that is the major task of the Not For Sale campaign, is to begin to wake people up to the realities of what's in our backyard, the reality of what's in our city, and not just our city, but also our suburbs and our fields and our manufacturing, and really begin to examine even the immigration issue, that there are people who come here legally with documents, but those documents are taken away from them. Those documents are, the second they land here, the second that they are brought across the border, there is an agent who works as a third party, and those documents are taken away.
So that they can be controlled.
So they can be controlled, exactly. Part of that process is signing up for a job. Let's say you are a woman who is from Mexico City, and you need to be able to take care of your two children, but you don't have access to a job in Mexico City. So you sign on with an agency that will find you a job in the United States. So you sign up, and sometimes there are questions in that questionnaire that are a bit odd. You know, where do you live? How many kids do you have? How old are they? Do you have grandparents? Where do they live? Where are your parents? Extended family. And it seems strange that those would be part of the questions that are asked. But then, you know, you're promised a job to work as a domestic worker or in a hotel or in a restaurant. But the second you arrive in the United States, your documents are taken away and you're forced many times into the sex industry. And part of that manipulation and that control is the fact that they can turn around and say, well, you gave us the information as to where your children are. We know where your family is. So if you do anything or you go to an authority, but then again, if you are someone who has been abused by authority, it's hard to want to go out and find a police officer, because many times where these women are coming from and the children are coming from, the law enforcement is complicit. It would take a different mindset. It would take trust that I don't think most people who are trafficked would have to actually reach out to a police.
It's interesting. A television dramatic series, Law and Order SVU, has done several episodes on this. And I wonder if people really understand that this is going on all the time and it's going on everywhere.
I don't think they do. I know for a fact that there's a group of political leaders in D.C. who are attempting to figure out exactly how many people do know what's going on. I wouldn't be surprised if we came up with very, very low numbers as to knowledge of the issue. That can be taken in several ways. It could be taken as a negative, that, all right, people don't know what is going on, or it could be taken as a positive, that this is an issue that we can do so much more with. And as a campaign, that's definitely the way we see it, is that there's a hope to be able to wake people up in a way that's positive, because you can learn about an issue and you can go two ways. You can be, if you learn about human trafficking and you learn about modern day slavery, you can be angry about it and not do anything, or you can be shocked by it and take the step to get active and actually do something about it. And that's definitely what the campaign is about. It's about hope. It's about knowing that there are groups out there working to fight this issue. And it's also about taking the steps to decide, what can I do as a person, as an individual, as a member of a church, as a member of a synagogue, as a member of a school, as a member of a university, what have you. People can get active, and the campaign is about trying to plug people in that way.
So, Mark, what made you and David and others get together and decide that you folks really wanted to do something and make the statement, Not for Sale?
David wrote the book, Not for Sale, The Return of the Global Slave Trade and How We Can Fight It. Through that process of writing the book, he spent the entire year of 2006 traveling the world, investigating. And myself and Kike Bazan, who is the third conspirator in the campaign, we always knew that there was something that we should do. A book is great, but it's only going to reach so many people. Only X amount will actually read it. How much will actually come of that? Not sure. And sitting down, the three of us, we decided that there had to be something more. We had the resources. We know people, particularly David has very good connections with Sojourners and groups like that that do some very good work. And we have the know-how. We all have kind of been involved in the nonprofit world, also the for-profit world, also within the church. All these different levels, we all have ways to plug in, get people to wake up, and get people active. And we coincided the launch of the campaign with the publishing of the book, and that was early February of 2006. And where it's come since then has truly been mind-boggling. It's one of these things where you go talk to people, and the next question isn't fear out of anger. It's, okay, well, what do I do? What can I do? And the positive part is that people want to be active. So what we're in the process of doing is starting to create those structures in which people can do that and can plug in.
Reaching Up with Don Fess. Don Fess.
Slavery didn't die in the 1800s. It's still very alive in Eastern Europe, the Middle East, Asia, Africa, and even in the United States. Child soldiers, child sex, and slave labor trafficking. But you can support and partner with groups working to stop it. To find out how, click on the Do Good button at CelebrateRadio.com or OneHeartForKids.com. OneHeartForKids.com. Shine your light. New music, new hope. Our new CD with King Crimson's Adrian Belew, Peter Paul and Mary's Peter Yarrow, Zender, Tom Paxton, Brian Duncan, Pam Thumb, The Bittersweets, Craig Taubman, Debbie Friedman, and many more. Incredible music benefiting children in need all over the world.
a great gift for yourself or others at cdbaby.com, oneheartforkids.com. New music, new hope, the exciting, uplifting album that helps people all over the world. Get it, play it, enjoy it, give it, and help kids all over the world. New music, new hope. Also at reachinguprradio.com. Reachinguprradio.com.
Mark Wexler of Not For Sale will join us again. At age 12, Zach Hunter also got into the fight against slavery with a book, Be the Change, TV appearances, and an organization, Loose Change to Loosen Chains.
There are more than 27 million slaves in the world today. More than 17,500 people are trafficked through and into the U.S. every year. And about 50% of all victims of human trafficking are children. So, you know, you may hear these stats, and you may think, well, what am I supposed to do with this? Or you may feel really bad about it. But, you know, you really have to ask yourself the question, is feeling bad enough? Well, I first actually heard about modern-day slavery from my mom. She had started working for this abolitionist organization. And I just asked her, you know, what does this organization do? She told me that they went around the world freeing slaves. It was Black History Month at the time, and I was learning about a lot of the great abolitionists from history. And I was thinking, you know, if I had lived back then, I would have fought, you know, for justice and against injustice, and that includes slavery. So when I found out that this was still going on, I really felt that I had to do something. I couldn't just sit by and let it go on. Well, I wasn't sure what to do at first, you know, when I came to grips to modern-day slavery. I just started thinking, why don't I have a fundraiser? You know, I thought that we could set out buckets or something at stores so people could drop their change in. And then it sort of evolved into this thing. You know, we have these yellow cups with our logos on them, Loose Change to Loosen Chains. We sell t-shirts. And a lot of people gave all they had. You know, there was this story of this one little kid who went home to his piggy bank and emptied out the whole thing. So mom was like, oh no, you can just give part of it. But he said, no, mom, God told me that I'm supposed to actually give all my money to this cause. So it was really amazing to see God actually use something like this cause, not only to free slaves, but also to change other people's lives. Well, a lot of people have asked me why I'm doing this, and you know, because I'm so young, I'm 15 years old. And really, I think it's important for me to invest my youth, because I'm somewhat of a novelty, I guess, in this field. A lot of people don't expect teenagers to be caring about something like this. But I've really found that it's actually the opposite of that. Teenagers really do care about issues that impact the world. They just really need somebody to tell them about that and tell them that they actually can do something here and now. A couple months ago, I wrote a book called Be the Change, and it was really sort of a good process for me to put down my thoughts on paper, because I had been mulling over these things for a while in my mind, but just be able to actually, you know, get them out there and get them all down. A lot of why I wrote the book was to motivate other young people, teenagers and 20-somethings, to actually go out and do likewise, basically, to actually put their passion to work. I think that we could reintroduce passion to young people, and it would be a really, really great thing. So if people could just find something that they're passionate about, it's explosive. You know, I mean, if we could just get teenagers passionate about something, anything, and apply that then to something amazing, and you know, there's no stopping us. My name is Zach Hunter, and God is using me here and now.
None of us are free. If you don't say it's wrong, then that says it's right. We got to try to feel for each other. Let our brothers know that we care. Got to get the message, send it out loud and clear. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. It's a single truth we all need just to hear and to see. None of us are free. Isn't too hard to find. None of us can find it on our own. We got to join together in spirit, heart, and mind, so that every soul who's suffering will know that we're not alone. Oh, none of us are free. Getting smaller each passing day.
Passing day.
Now it's time to start making changes, and it's time for us all to realize that the truth is shining bright right before our eyes.
Before
our eyes. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free.
Please write us, UCR listeners. Just go to reachinguprradio.com and click email us on the left-hand side of the page. That's reachinguprradio.com to write us. Please send us your comments. Thank you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank you, God. Next verse. 'Twas grace that taught.
This is Don Fass. Join us next weekend and keep reaching up.
Upcoming exciting guests of mine include Mercy Me, Phil Joel, Natalie Grant, Phil Wickham, Barlow Girl, British Rabbi Malcolm Cohen in Las Vegas, and all our shows from New York City, London, Paris, Rome, Jerusalem, and more. Write us and be sure to follow us on Reaching Up at Twitter. That's Reaching Up at Twitter.
This is the Celebrate Radio Network.
Celebrate Radio Network.
From Montreal to Rio. New York to Moscow.